Thank you for downloading this podcast from CFC Jesus Ministries of Christian Fellowship Church in Chicago, Illinois. Support for this podcast comes from your generous gifts and donations. To find out more about CFC Jesus Ministries or our church, please visit www.cfcjesus.org.
We are going to be sharing a message on heaven, our home. Heaven is a real place. And I have made a statement throughout the years that in my heart of hearts, sometimes I believe that no people don't live anymore like they truly believe that there really is a heaven, or you would live with great excitement, or that there is a hell for us to avoid, which is also a truth. And here's the situation. In choosing our future destination, there are only two choices. And although we have not seen heaven with our physical eyes, we do know that there really is a heaven. Jesus told us that there is a heaven to go to. And I've seen some brochures about the other place, and no, it's just not for me. I like the temperature better in heaven, so I've already chosen my destination. I promise you I have. And like any other place that you're going to visit, if you're going to go to California, if you're going to go to Hawaii, you're going to need a ticket, aren't you? You're going to need some documentation. You're going to need a ticket, and you're going to need to prepare. So we're going to be discussing heaven this morning. Pastor Ken's going to start this off today. So welcome again.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I thought the music was especially good this morning. I just enjoyed it so much. And the thing about our music is it doesn't just end when it ends. Not for me. It's still playing on Tuesdays and Thursdays. I'll be singing, "How Great Is Our God." And it's because you planted that seed in my life. So I appreciate that. So we are going to talk about heaven this morning, which is a but for my money, we could call it heaven and hell, because you really can't have one without the other. You can't have light without darkness. And when I'll be brief with my testimony, but when I was 7 years old, maybe eight, we went to a Bible camp. It was like a week. It was a week camp, and it was. I don't remember much about the camp, but the last night of it, it was thundering and it was raining and it was lightning, and the preacher preached on hell. And I'm 8 years old, and it's lightning and it's thundering, and he's talking about hell, and then he posed this question. He said, "If Jesus came in 10 minutes, are you ready? What if he came in 5 minutes, you know?" So he gave an altar call, and he said, you know, Jesus could come in 5 minutes, and I was holding out. And he said, the right side of the church, you go to the right side if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Go to the left side if you need to be saved. And I took it right down to the wire. It was like 2 minutes to go. And I ran up to my sister who was at the altar praying, and I said, "What side am I supposed to be on?" I was thinking I was going to miss heaven by a technicality. It's like, sorry, you're on the wrong side. But despite that, I was completely sincere and I thought about it later. Is that a good way to get people into heaven, is to tell them about the horrors of hell? It turns out it's a starting place. Now that I know the Lord, I wouldn't care if there was no hell. It wouldn't matter to me. I want to go to heaven. It sounds like an amazing place. Yeah. However, interestingly enough, if in the New Testament, do you know that Jesus actually spoke more about hell than he did about heaven, which I think is kind of interesting. So he did talk a lot about that. And the Bible tells us to think about heaven, set our affection on things above and not on. There's so many scriptures that talk about heaven, that do describe heaven. So I would say this. When I was a child, and even when I was a teenager, and maybe when I was an adult, I would involve myself with foolish daydreams. You know, like there's no reason at all that I can't be the starting pitcher for the Yankees. And people would say, Ken Bonner, that's that guy that throws the no-hitters all the time. Or we would have fantasies about, I'm going to win an Academy Award. I'm going to be a billionaire. People are going to know my name. But think about how foolish the world's fantasies are, because what Satan offers is a carrot, but you never can catch the carrot. And he can have us even as adults. It's one thing when you're a child and you want to be a ballerina and you finally come to the conclusion, maybe ballerina is not going to happen, right, Pam? You know, I don't know. It's not too late, Pam. It's not too late. But that's one thing to be a child and have those dreams. But to be an adult and to be setting our affection on the wrong things. Oh, I wish that I won an Academy Award, that people would clap for me. It's a foolish dream, because here's the reality of life, is the hourglasses that you know, they have sand in it and you flip it over. There's many sizes of those hourglasses. Some of those sands, it can take an hour for them if they're large enough, and some of them just take 2 or 3 minutes. Here's the thing about your hourglass. You have no idea how much sand is in the top. You just know that every second of your life, and this isn't a morbid thing. This is reality. So here's the truth is, you are older than you have ever been in your whole life right now. You go, oh, that's depressing. But that's okay, because you're younger now than you will be next week, you know? So the point is that life is short, and we need to take heaven and hell very seriously. And Jesus said, if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. So we have a promise of heaven, and that's the daydream we ought to have. So what I'm saying is, replace the daydream about being a billionaire with a daydream about you being connected with God, about you serving God, about you loving God. What would it look like if you were on fire for God? What would it look like if your relationship, that's the daydreams that we should be having.
It's very, very true, and I think that this is a very important message, and we think, you know, heaven, hell, we know all that already. Most of you know that I work for a funeral director, David Fisher, and I'm faced with this reality a lot, and I've done more funerals than the average person will ever do in a lifetime. But here's the situation. I see that people plan for their high school graduation. They plan for their college. They plan their weddings. I see that they plan where they're going to work and so many things. They plan their vacations. And here's the deal that I see. There are a whole lot of people who pre-plan their funerals, but watch this, but fail to plan for after the funeral. We plan everything, but we don't plan where are we going to spend eternity. And don't even think about it a lot. And that needs to be resolved, and that needs to be settled. And I want to say this while we're doing this message. Do not get your theology about heaven, hell, or any of this from Hollywood. You know, an angel doesn't get its wings when someone dies. That's a wonderful life. We need to read the word, and we need to talk about it, and we need to understand it. And I'm going to read to you a scripture now. John 14:1-3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. In the Greek, that is tormented, discouraged. Do not let your hearts be tormented. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house, there are many big rooms. If it weren't true, I would have let you know. I am going there to prepare a place for you personally. And if I go and I prepare a place for you personally, I will assuredly come back and take you with me to be with me, that where also I am, you may be. That is a powerful, powerful scripture. God spells it out for us. There is an actual place called heaven, and there is an actual place for you in heaven. And the number one fear, this is the number one fear that tops the list always, is the fear of death or dying. It's something every one of us can be very troubled by. That's why Jesus said, don't let your hearts be tormented. And People fear the afterlife. They fear, you know, and a lot of people will dismiss it and say, I don't believe in heaven and I don't believe in hell. And the reality is it doesn't matter if you believe or not. Only to you does it matter. It does not matter if you believe or not. It is a fact from the Word of God. And there is no, well, when I die, just nothing is going to happen. That is just not the truth. We need to know the truth. Even in our hearts, we know that our spirits are created. I've heard people say myself in counseling, Pastor Pam, there has to be more than this. There is more than this. There is. I'm going to give you two examples. I think I gave this in a class once. In AD 125, a Greek, Aristides, wrote to a friend about this newfound religion called Christianity. He tried to explain why he thought this new Christian religion was so successful. He said this, if any righteous man, good man among these Christians passes from this world, they rejoice. The Christians rejoice and they thank God and they escort that body with songs of thanksgiving and praise as if that individual were setting out from one place to another nearby. Note that word nearby. I could not have said it better. My dad used to say heaven is just one step over. I know that he is correct. Contrast that, what Aristide said, with this. There was a royal named Philip going back eons and eons of years ago, and he instructed his entire staff, you will never mention the word death, dying, eternity, or none of that in my presence. I choose to dismiss it and not think of it. And again, I say, it doesn't matter. But Paul, the apostle, wrote something interesting. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And that's how I look at it. And he said, I desire to depart to be with Christ, which is much better by far. You know, God never gives up on his original plan for human beings to dwell on earth. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. Think about this for just a moment. A resurrected universe, resurrected people living on the new resurrected earth with the resurrected Savior. And I want to say this, and I'm going to hand this back to Ken. Do you know that you are terminal? Do you know that we are all mortal? Do you know that these bodies are tense and they are not designed to live forever? You know, I'm going to give you a couple, well, Ken will give you those statistics, but I'll say this, there's 180 people die every single minute, 180. Right now, you're not one of the 180, but that day will come. You know, it's a very sobering fact to be doing funerals of younger people than I am. It's such a reminder that none of us get to choose, none of us, but we do get to choose our destination, and for that, I am so thankful. I am so very thankful.
Seems to be a human characteristic that until something touches our life, it almost doesn't exist. So if you see other people die of cancer, it's like, but that's not me. I don't have it. And like, once it happens to us, once something happens to us, then we understand it. When I was about 18, I had a childhood friend of mine that died, and it shocked me. It's like, but he's my age. How can he die? And, you know, the thought does occur to me, that could have been me. He was my exact age, but he died and I lived. Yet we see that in all through society. It's like, take something like gun violence. You can say, five people got shot last night, but it wasn't me. It wasn't my family. But you'll see people will become activists when something touches their life, when it becomes personal to them. And I heard a comedian once, he said, I'm never going to die. He said, and so far, so good. Look, I haven't died yet. So, and it's almost like we think that things like that could never happen to us. And even when people say that they are complete atheists, have you noticed that of course, the United States is like, everyone likes to be an atheist. It's like, Satan has this thing where he denies everything that God says. Has God said? God hasn't said that. The word isn't true. The word is false. So the proper response in the United States when someone says, are you a Christian, is to say, oh, I believe in a God somewhere, but I'm not that religious. So it's a really watered down answer. But Jesus said, those that would acknowledge me before men, there's one way that only Jesus, through the cross of Jesus Christ, can we be saved. There's one cross. There's one way to God. There's one way to heaven. And as Pam said, when people stub their toe, you never hear someone go, oh, Buddha. But they always say, oh, Jesus. And every situation, I see this all the time. Someone gets arrested. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. You just got arrested and you're saying, oh, my God. They get shot. Oh, my God. Anything good or bad happens, I don't care what their background is. Oh, my God. Oh, my. And they begin to cry out to God, who may not even know, they haven't developed that relationship with God. So here's the thing about the where we live. We live in a place that does not honor God. There were times in my life, and maybe times in your life, that you were in an environment. Maybe you were in a family that went to church and honored God. Maybe you were in a city that honored God. But like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you may have found yourself in a city, in a country, in a place with people that do not honor God, that speak against God. And the problem is you cannot join in with that. You've got to be a Daniel. You've got to be a Shadrach. You've got to let God know and let the angels know I'm not with them. I am not joining in with everyone else who is anti-God, anti-Jesus. Look at our society, how much of it is fake. And if you go, I don't know if things are fake or not, Pastor Ken. I want you to, not now, but I want you to look at the last 20 emails you got and tell me how many of them are genuine and how many of them do you go, garbage, 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 garbage. But the whole idea is to find someone that won't think it's garbage. I mean, I never thought of myself as that popular, but there are women in Bolingbrook that want to meet me. I don't know. I don't even know how they got my name. But almost every day, I wasn't even aware of that. I like science stuff. So I was looking for YouTube videos on the James Webb. I want to get the newest and pictures and the newest updates. And apparently the top headlines say James Webb discovers terrifying discovery of aliens. I didn't even know that had happened. That news story, there's aliens, it's terrifying. My point is, how many things are fake? How many emails want you to be blessed and the prince wants to write you and they want to marry you and it's emails, it's text, it's advertising, it's everything is after your money, everything is after, it's just all fake. So you have got to have the ability to decide what's fake and what's real. And here's the good news. If you think wrestling is real, you can still go to heaven, okay? And there's people like, did you see that match? And I'm like, yeah, I did. I once went I don't really like wrestling, but a friend of mine said that Hulk Hogan, who had been in the Rocky movie, and I said, I still don't want to go. And they said, we have got the first row seats. I mean, we are, so I went to see Hulk Hogan, my one and only wrestling. But because I was so close, the guy he beat up had a blood capsule, and he bit it, and it was orange dye. And so instead of bleeding red, he had orange all over his face. Because he had bit down into this blood capsule, this orange dye, and then he threw it. So I could see I was right there. There's nothing real about this, but the people in the back were going nuts. Can you believe what Hulk Hogan did? When I came to this church, the very first thing that I told God, like within the first 10 seconds of, and me and Pam have always talked about this, if it's not real, I don't want any part of it. And the world has plenty of reasons to criticize what we do as Christians. They see preachers on TV that are talking about their jets, and they see people preachers on TV that are clearly charlatans, and they see false prophecies all of the time, and they see people that the ministry is about the minister, and all of that disgusts God. Jesus hated religion. He's with the world on that. That's why he was overturning the money changers' tables, because they weren't preaching about the blood. They weren't preaching about who God was. They weren't preaching what they should have been preaching. Yes. Pam's statistics that she read, that's 250,000 people a day that die. And here's a common thing in today's society, because as Pam said, we hear about heaven and hell, but do we really believe it? Do we really live our life as if there is a heaven and if there is a hell? So we'll hear people say all the time, and maybe you've even said it, but it's because we're ignorant. We don't even know it. We'll say about some group, well, I hope they burn in hell. Right? When you're really mad at someone, well, I hope you burn in hell. That's not having an understanding of hell. That it's, if we realize that hell was real, hell was not created for man. It was created for Satan and the rebellion. Man doesn't belong there. You certainly don't belong there. Even your enemies do not belong there. We belong in the garden. God created a garden, and that's what the new heaven and the earth is. It's bringing us back to the garden. So here's the sobering thought. And by the way, when I shared my testimony years ago about getting saved because I didn't want to go to hell, I said in my testimony, I said, I don't know if that was the best motivation to get saved. And another brother came to me, he said, that was a great motivation to get saved, to avoid hell. And like I said, now I just want to go to heaven. I don't really care that much about hell. But I want to tell you, the reality that of things that can never happen to you, that you think could never happen to you. First of all, Pam, your friend Rose, how old was she?
65.
65 years of age. And we think that things like that could never happen to us. I think the average lifespan, I think women's lifespan is several years longer than men, only because we're like, watch this. I'm going to do some. Yeah. It's like, hey, y'all, watch this. If the average age is 75, and I may be off by a year or two because it changes, but I think that's close. Doesn't that sound close, that the average age of human beings is about 75, give or take a couple of years? So do the math right now for yourself. Do the math. I'm doing the math for myself. If I am average, I have 12 more Christmases to celebrate with my family. And the thing about Christmases, they used to come once a year. Now there's like every 3 months, it's like, it can't not be Christmas again. The older you get, the faster time goes by. But you've done the math for yourself. How many years until you're 75? That's how many birthdays you have left. That's how many times you get to go out to the hibachi 12 more times or whatever it is on your birthday or on Christmas. Is that enough time? Do we have regrets? You know, and I was proud that my father said, And my uncle, yeah. It was Uncle Pete, right?
Yeah.
How old was he when he died?
91.
I'm going to turn this back to Pam. Uncle Pete pastored 3 churches. He was never rich, but he died a rich man. And I mean he was a rich man. And he said, I have no regrets on how I've... Wow, how many people can say they have no regrets? If we have regrets, though, I'm telling you, it's okay, because the blood of Jesus washes away our past.
Okay, about that math situation, I'm doing a different form of math. It's called multiplication and addition. So you enjoy your 12 Christmases. I'm going to be here for a lot more. Let's do, I don't like the sound of that. You know, I loved when Pastor Ken was talking about, you know, that there's so much fake news out there. And even in Christendom, in the kingdom, there is a lot of fake and there's a lot of phony. And we see it a lot. And it used to trouble me. I would see ministers and I would think, you're not genuine. You're not real. I can feel it. I can see it. I can hear it in your messages. They're all about money. They're all about, here, I did this and I did that. And I wrote 16 books. And that's good stuff. But it's not God stuff. We need a move of God. We need a heart of God. We need to be willing to minister to the least of these. I had one of my children one time said, you literally just gravitate, Mom, to the down and outers. And I said, no shame in my game. That's Jesus. I consider that a compliment because everybody's not real in your life. And I appreciate that Ken and I keep each other accountable. If it's not real, I don't want it. You don't have to, you know, you don't have to make up a testimony for God. He doesn't need our help. He's done so much in my life. I don't have to make anything up. And I used to hate that when I would find out, oh, you've got to be kidding. Another minister ran away with the secretary or, you know, they stole money and it's in the news. And it used to bother me like, you are a blight on who I am. But this is what God showed me. Anything that's real has greater value. I can get a fake ruby at TJ Maxx for $12.99, but a genuine ruby is a lot of money. And I want what's real. I do not want your fake perfume. Oh, this smells just like Dior. This smells like Henry Ford, but it's not. Even if it's close, I do want what's real. I want a real touch from God. And here's why. Because I've had a touch from God. I've had the Holy Spirit move on me. I've had him speak to me and tell me things that literally came to pass. So I'm not willing. And so where there's heaven and hell, I want to tell the truth. I want you to know about heaven and hell. And I'll be sharing this at my friend's funeral on Thursday night or Friday morning. Here's the deal. In order to go to heaven, you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and believe that he died for you and forgave your sins. It's that simple. Should you live for God and do your best? Yes, you should. But that's not how you go to heaven. You should come to church. It's a command of God because it blesses you, because it's a good group of people. When you have trouble, you can call someone and they'll tell you the honest truth. But here I'm going to tell you, and you know, this may cause some of you to never come to church again, and I don't care. You aren't going to get to heaven because you came to church and sat on a pew. Nowhere in the Bible does it say because you sat in a chair in a church, I get to go to heaven. So stop telling people if you would just come to church, you would go to heaven. You don't have to come to church to go to heaven. So if you decide to stay home, that's on you. It's not a problem. You don't come to church. You're not going to go to heaven because you give money in church. There, I said what I said. Should you tithe? Yes, it's how the kingdom of God goes further. And it's a command of God so that he can release blessing to us. We don't major on it. We're not going to major on that. We're not going to beg. That's ungodly. I'm not going to make up a story so that you will give money. You know what? God supplies all my need according to his riches in glory through Christ Jesus. There is no struggle in serving God. I serve him because I want to, not because I have to. And you don't get to heaven those ways, although some preacher will tell you, you better do this and you better do that and we need $10,000. You know what? That's all garbage. We go to heaven because we believe in Jesus. And that's what we're preaching on today, the truth. So that should give some of us just peace of mind. You know, I don't fear death, and you know, but here's the thing I want to tell you. Those of you who are serving God today or considering really pressing into the kingdom, don't give up. Remember our story about Frances Chadwick when she was swimming the English Channel and she was so close to the shore, and her mother and everybody in the boat kept telling her, you're close, you're close, you're close, and she gave up and got in the boat anyway. You know what? I'm going to tell you today, you're so close, you're so close. Don't give up on God. You know, and here's something I love to say, and this is just for me. People say, oh, you're going here, you're going there, you're going to minister this person, you're going there. You know what? Keep moving. It's hard for the devil. It's harder for the devil to hit a moving target. You know, if we could get a clear vision of heaven, it would really bring hope into our lives. It really would, because the waters on earth, we go through a lot of storms, don't you? How many of you are going through something right now, just something that's a little bit, it's tricky, it's difficult. We just need God. We just need God. Just we might even need a miracle. You know what? Heaven is our hope. Heaven is our hope. When you've lost everything, you know, I'm very soon going to be teaching preparing a sermon I've already started on. You just cannot give up. You absolutely cannot give up. It's just should not be in your vocabulary with heaven in sight. Heaven is just in sight. I want to tell you, I'm packing. I'm getting ready to move someday. What I mean by that is in my heart. And it's not Missouri and it's not Indiana. It's an amazing place. And there's people going to be waiting for me there. And if you think that you're going to live forever, there's a word for that. Denial. Denial. If you think nothing bad can ever happen to you and no one in your life can ever just suddenly go home, I present to you one of my best friends on earth, my brother-in-law, Pastor Bill Virgin. 2 years ago, I was driving to Chick-fil-A, and my niece called me screaming, "Dad's on the ground. They're working on him. Dad's on the ground. Aunt Pam, pray, pray, pray," screaming. 5 minutes later, he was gone. Very young, not even 60. On the ground, pulled up to his church. It can happen to you in your life. We need to be. There was no one more prepared for heaven than Pastor Bill. He wrote the book, Igniting the Power of Prayer. There was no one. Let me tell you, we need to be that prepared and that assured that we have made heaven our home. And I want to say this, if you are in a position where you've never really sat down and talked to someone about heaven, and you've never really, you want to know that you know, just get my number. I'll be happy to have lunch with you. I'll buy you lunch, and I'll talk to you about my Jesus.
Yeah, that story about that swimmer, she was trying to swim across, I think it was the English Channel, right? And it was fog. She swam the whole way except for the last 50 feet. The fog was so heavy, they could see it in the boat. They were there to help her. They could see the shore. Because she couldn't see the shore, she said, I've got to stop. And we can't see the end, but it can be at any time. And that whole thing about we don't want the fake. I don't want fake religion. I don't want fake preachers. I don't want fake hope. We guard our pulpit. We don't want speakers in that are going to speak about things that are not right. That's why we don't have a lot of guest speakers. I don't want fake prophecies. But having said that, I want real prophecies. I want real people that are real. Cubic zirconian, those are those fake diamonds, right? So I heard that they're perfect. Real diamonds are not perfect. So I would rather be a real diamond that's not perfect, because it's flawed, than a fake cubic zirconian. Try to give one of those to your wife. Hey, here's a diamond I bought you. That's perfect. It cost $20,000. It won't stand the test, though. Jonathan Edwards said that our life should be lived as if it was a journey towards heaven, and everything else is subordinate. And I believe that we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. We need to think about our life and our death. And yes, it's sobering to think about death. When I was my freshman year in college, my college roommate, who obviously was young college roommate, he was a couple of years older than me, but he told me something that at first I thought was weird. But he had a very serious mind about the things of the Lord. He said, once in a while I'll pull over next to a cemetery and I just want to remind myself that this is a real place and people really die and heaven and earth is a real place. I thought that was a very mature thought, that here he was, you know, 19 or 20, and he's thinking about eternal life. Here's the thing about the rules of the universe. God did not consult us about what he should do, right? He doesn't say, what do you think the Ten Commandments should be. Because I have a few others I'd like to add, some I'd like to take away. I have some amendments to the Ten Commandments. God didn't check with me about that. I personally disagree with God on the speed of light. It is way too slow for the size of the universe. God, why did you make it so slow, the speed of light? He didn't check with me. You know, as he said to Job, where were you? Because Job was having all these questions, right? You ever do that? God, why'd you do this? And why is there a hell? And why is the speed of light so slow? And I don't like the rules. So as Job was questioning God, he's like, I'm just asking legit. As Job had all this stuff in his mind, God said, Job, where were you when I made the stars? I don't remember your input. Where were you when I created the galaxies? Where were you to offer this wise advice? You didn't advise me. Where were you, Job? God was saying, I'm God and you're not. I'm the one that makes up the rules and you're not. So I don't like the speed of light. But guess what? Like Pam said, it doesn't matter what you believe. It only matters what's the truth. God is not taking a poll to decide who believes in heaven and hell. He's not going to grade on a curve. He said it is appointed once for men to die and then the judgment. You can't get out of that appointment. Unfortunately, after church today, I have to drive to Springfield. I don't want to go to Springfield. I have an appointment in Springfield and I have to go. It came. I knew it was coming. Today's the day. I've got an appointment. I can't get out of it. And your appointment with God, your appointment with judgment, you can't call in sick. You can't bargain with God. So we are going to face God. And what a scary thing to face God as a stranger. What a fun thing to face God as a friend. And I'll quickly turn this to Pam, but when I was an attorney, I actually knew the judge in a case that I was at, and judges are not supposed to do this. It was a complete violation, but he did it anyway. This judge wanted to get out the next day. He did not want to spend hours and hours in the courtroom. I think he had a golf game or something. So he told me, he goes, Ken, I'm obviously going to decide in your favor. Okay, judges aren't supposed to say that. So don't spend a lot of time on this. You know, he goes, you've got to. So I go to court, me versus the other attorney, and the other attorney is like, you need to settle right now because you're going to lose this case. And I'm thinking, I've already won it. I've already won.